This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to ESPN's NBA Team Podcast. I am your co-host, Andrew Reich. I am joined by Adam Murray.
Full Horseman, baby!
I was doing my Oprah there. Did you get that vibe, the Oprah vibe?
Yes.
Adam Murray! So what's going on?
Talking basketball. It's always a good time, and with the playoffs in swing, I figured that was a good time as any to talk about teams that didn't make it.
Well, that's why that dead air was there, because with the Eastern Conference, there really wasn't a lot to talk about at the bottom. But we're going to try to make the most of it here. And we did this episode Gone Fishing for the, which is a play on the teams that didn't make the playoffs or get eliminated from the playoffs. And we're going to be talking about the teams that didn't make the playoffs in the Eastern Conference. Now, the Eastern Conference was definitely not as good as Western Conference. Now, like Adam Murray said in the earlier episode when we did Gone Fishing, the bad teams in the Western Conference were probably just as bad as the ones in the East. But that doesn't mean that there still are. The problem, though, is that in the Western Conference, the teams that just missed out on the playoffs, I would probably say are better than the ones that missed out in the East. Would you say the same thing?
Oh, yeah, but there's always close teams due to, injury or just failing the way the schedule fell. But, yeah. Both sides of the coin, they were just tanking and teams who weren't even trying to play.
Yeah. So. And I think we're going to start up right off the bat with this one. This will be fun. The New York Knickerbockers. They re-signed Carmelo Anthony. They bring in Derek Fisher as the head coach under the tutelage of Phil Jackson, who's the GM. He's going to install the triangle. Phil's going to figure it out. Everything's going to be great. And they even beat the Cavaliers on opening night in Cleveland to spoil LeBron's return home. And everybody was kind of high on the Knicks for like a couple days. And then they weren't, because they were I know Minnesota had the worst record at 16 and 66, but I really do feel like the Knicks were the worst team in the NBA.
Well, the Knicks didn't try at the end. Mm-hmm. I mean, once Carmelo shut himself down, who do they really have? They had absolutely nobody. At least Minnesota was just like, nothing as in they didn't even try to develop their young players. I didn't even see Klay Anthony early out there at all. He was just,
Only guy that I think they actually, along with Tim Hardaway Jr., that they actually have like long-term prospects for. Like I think Quincy Acey, Shane Larkin, Langston Galloway, Alexei Shved, like, I don't think they have any plans for these guys. That's just my honest opinion right off the bat with the Knicks.
Yeah, so you're not, it's just funny. Like, like you said, this is the, bringing in Phil, and everybody, not one person has said anything good about the triangle. Nobody understands it. And you have Carmelo saying, I'm really second-guessing my decision now. Not good signs you want to hear from them, and just zero talent. And then, you look at the roster, like, this is what you're putting out?
Wow. Yeah, Carmelo Anthony re-signed, and he averaged 24 points and 6 rebounds. He was doing pretty well before they shut him down with a knee injury. He could have played through it, but it was one of those things where the Knicks were actively tanking, and the fans embraced it because they knew they were going to get a high draft pick out of it for the first time ever, because they haven't traded their first-round draft pick for once. Isaiah Thomas did it like 5 times over, kept trading draft picks, and then Donnie Walsh did it when he traded to get Carmelo Anthony from Denver, when they fleeced him for all those draft picks. So this is the first time ever that they actually have their own draft pick going into the lottery. So when they were losing, getting more and with the higher likelihood of getting a top pick in the NBA draft, I think the Knicks fans are actually looking forward to it, because it's the first time in a long time that they're actually going to have a high draft pick.
And the funniest thing is, you reports like Phil's like, I'm not high on the draft. Like, yeah. Oh boy, here we go again.
I think he wants Towns. That's just my opinion. I think he wants Karl Anthony Towns out of Kentucky. But we're looking way forward to that. We'll talk about that with the draft. But talk about this roster. They had Amari Stoudemire and Andrea Bargnani in the front court of doom. I don't mean for the teams that they were playing against. I'm talking about for the Knicks themselves. I mentioned Chavette. I mentioned Langston Galloway, who did okay as a rookie out of St. Joe's. But, I mean, he's Langston Galloway, for Christ's sakes, you know?
Actually, Chavette was pretty efficient in his limited time there.
Did you see Chavette when he went into the lane and he threw the ball like 10 rows deep into the garden?
Yeah.
That was, to me, that's Alexei Chavette in a nutshell. He's bounced between two different teams in the last year. Or three, because he was with the Wolves, then he was with the Rockets, then the Sixers, and then the Knicks.
Yep.
I mean, he's been everywhere. It's just like, what is he? Like, he's a restricted free agent, so I think he'll probably stick around and they'll keep his tender offer for another year. So he might be back.
He's not, the thing is, like, you know, what does this team need? For one,
I was almost scared to ask that.
Like, you have to look back to see what they've done. Look at all the trades Phil has made by getting, you know, Jose Calderon. In 3 years of him?
Now, Calderon is still a good assist guy, and he can still shoot the ball.
I think he's done.
Oh, he probably is. But he's got a couple of things that he can offer. Just a couple. But in terms of scoring and rebounding, he offers nothing. And defense, too. Thomas, Jason Smith, who I remember from the Pelicans. Shane Larkin, Quincy Acey.
Quincy Acey is like the biggest thing they traded for. They got rid of.
Now, Acey's got a mean streak to him. I remember when he tried to fight John Wall on Christmas. I mean, he's a nasty dude. I like it. I like that edge he's got. And Cle Anthony Early is just talented. He's just a talented player out of Wichita State.
Is he? Because I just, you know, he never got on the floor.
No, he didn't. That it's a reach for me.
And that's a question mark. If a team's that bad, why not? That no point they decided to develop him.
Put the best players on the court, yeah, or the players that you know could be the better ones, you know. So I get your point there. Sam D'Alembert, Aldrich. I mean, this was your roster. I mean, I'm not even joking. This was your starting roster.
Yeah. The only disappointment for me was really Jason Smith, who I thought could have come back from his injury last year because people sort of forgot about him in New Orleans.
Well, he started out okay, and his numbers are about the same as they were in New Orleans. It was 8 points and 4 rebounds. Watching him there, I knew that's what he was going to be in New York.
Yeah, but I thought like he could have done a little bit better. And just like, okay, what is New York going to do? What do they need to get better? Oh, they're just going to open up their checkbook. They're going to be like, you know what? Let's overpay for Aflalo. Let's overpay for, you know, let's offer a max contract to Tobias Harris. Mm-hmm. You know, let's look up Cantor. Let's see what his, you know, get
yeah,
money
for. Yeah, but that's what Isaiah Thomas did when he started signing Jerome James and Eddie Curry and Zach Randolph, and it didn't work. You know?
Yeah, but I don't see anything different happening here.
Oh, well, now you just hate Phil Jackson because you're saying that Phil Jackson is just the same as all the other GMs that have failed in New York.
He's not going to homegrown. They're not going to have homegrown talent.
That's the problem, though. They're in a position where they can't homegrow. They can't. The only guy that they can homegrow, you know, if that's even a word, is the draft pick that they have coming in. Whether it's Okafor, whether it's Towns, Emmanuel Mudiay, whoever it is that you get, you know, that's the only guy that they can really develop. And they're going to have to hurry up to develop him.
Yeah, because the fans aren't going to wait 2-3, you know.
Yeah, it's Gotham. They don't wait for nothing. What do they need the most? Like the most?
Assuming they get Towns or Okafor, they get little size. They need bodies.
A legit big man.
They're going to get one of the two legit big men. So.
Mm-hmm. I think it's one of the two. I agree with you there.
In theory, they're going to get one of the two. So. Outside of that, they just need. They don't have anybody at the two right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because
do you think Tim Hardaway Jr. can grow into that role?
No, I think he's one of those people who's sort of maxed out, and he doesn't have that much high of a ceiling. Mm-hmm. You know, he's going to be always, I think, a backup player more than a superstar.
Do you think they should try to keep Shane Larkin as an unrestricted free agent?
No, because they declined his option.
Okay, so they might not even bring him.
I was bitching about that this past year. I'm like, why are you declining his option when he's a cheap body at $1 million?
I guess Larkin wanted to bet on himself. And by doing so, he didn't prove much.
No, the Knicks declined his rookie deal.
Mm-hmm.
They declined his third year.
Yes.
Like, out of the get-go, and it wasn't, you know, Shane's betting on himself. It was just the Knicks were like, yeah, we don't, you're a one-year rental, period.
Maybe they want to keep your boy Chevet to back up Calderon.
And it's like, they bet more money on Langston Galloway than Mark.
I know his numbers were inflated because he got more starters minutes than he deserved. Langston Galloway's no good. I'm sorry, but he's no good.
No, he's really not.
So people look at the numbers and like, well, you can make a case that Galloway was just as good as like Andrew Wiggins. I'm like, no, stop talking. Stop talking. Because that's not what that means. That means that you got more minutes than other players did on a really awful team. That's not the same thing. It's not the same thing that what happened with Wiggins and Parker and on their teams. It's not the same thing. You know?
Mm-hmm. No, they just need solid size if you're going to, you know.
They were bottom in everything. Points, three-pointers, defense, free throws, rebounds, steals, blocks. The only thing they were even middle of the pack in was turnovers. I mean, everything else, they were god-awful. I don't even know where to start with the fixing there. But I think we had a couple of steps there. I think Carmelo needs to try to stay with the game plan, even though he's got to be really patient in doing so. Because he took the money. I mean, he took the max money.
That's what it comes out of. It's like, well, you know you took the money over potentially, you know, a ring.
Yeah, and listen, the Knicks can still attract names. They can still get a good signing. Now, who they bring in, is it like a Rondo? Is it, like you said, a Tobias Harris? Is it like a Gerald Green? Like, who could they bring in? Like, they could bring in a couple of different team guys, but Draymond Green even. But I don't know if there are going to be the quick fixes that they're going to want compared to what they might be able to get in 2016 when if you look at that list of free agents.
Well, here's the thing.
Cavalcade.
Would you want now to stock up on your team, or do you want to wait till 2016?
Wait till 2016, just like the Lakers are.
See, I disagree. Okay. I would stock up now because when it hits 2016, all your guys are now bargains.
Yeah, but I think the players and the agents are smart enough to know which ones can get more money at a later year depending on the length of their contract. Like, say, for example, Marc Gasol takes a one-year deal so that he could be a free agent again in 2016. Like, that's possible.
Yeah, it's possible. Him and Aldridge, they can all take one
LeBron,
year.
LeBron did it with his deal in Cleveland. And Dwight Howard with Houston, same thing. You know, they both could opt out in 2016 if they felt like it.
Yeah, but unfortunately, under that scenario, it's just going to become like it'll become like college recruiting.
Yeah, you want a contract. Like, if you're a team, you want a contract like Steph Curry's, which is still going to be $11 million after 2016. Which is like, how is that even fucking possible? You know?
Yeah, it's just like literally every team will have a max contract available. So it's just, okay, who do you want to sign with? Mm-hmm. You know, it's just literally signing day.
Yes.
No recruiting necessary. But, yeah, this team is just going to buy people again. I don't see them. They have nobody to develop. They've made no attempt to develop. Unlike the Lakers, they didn't get, like, retreaded players who might do anything. They just got bodies.
And the Lakers were decent at a couple of things. Like, there were games where I would watch the Lakers, and I'm like, you know, they're not that bad. With the Knicks, every time I watch them, I'm like, oh, God, they're awful. You know?
Yeah, the Lakers, sadly to say, the Lakers also had more talent with Nick Young and
Jordan Hill. And yeah, I agree with that. Like, guys, if Nick Young was in New York, that team would have been better, you know?
Yeah, when basically, like, Langston Galloway is your leading scorer of people who are left at the end of the season. Yeah.
That speaks for itself. You talk about how the Knicks haven't really developed anyone over the last year, and that is true. This team is trying to develop players, but we don't really understand why or actually how they're doing it, and that's the Philadelphia 76ers. Everyone was convinced they were going to be the worst team in the NBA. I was pretty convinced after the start of the season when I think they started, what, 0-12,
0-13? Yeah.
And they actually picked it up late in the year because their defense got a little bit better, but they still finished, you know, a paltry 18-64. Did you see any improvement out of the Sixers even No. after they blew up the team again with Michael Carter Williams being traded?
No, there was no improvement. They
like
just
it was
got,
the same exact team as last year.
They will just trade anybody if they need to. They have no plan for the future until they get that Kobe Bryant in the draft.
This might be a rhetorical question, but what do the Philadelphia 76ers need?
They need to just move forward. Don't keep perpetually going, well, next year we'll trade it for next year's pick, trade for another future pick, trade for another future pick. You know, this is the second year in a row they had to sign players to reach the salary minimum.
Did you see any bright sides out of Philadelphia, like Tony Roten having probably his best year? Isaiah Cannon, a good three-point shooter who they got for nothing out of Houston. Robert Covington, even Nerlens Noel as a rookie. What did you see out of that team where at least one nugget where you could say that's something that they can hold on to in the future years when they get better?
Well, they have Noel. Everyone likes him. Everyone's like, okay, he's solid. He's going to, you know, questionable as to whether he'll be the offensive guy.
Yeah, but defensively, he's set. Like, I wouldn't call him a complete defensive player, but he's a very good defensive player.
But outside of him, it was like, you know, who was it? Robert Covington, who, you know, 1 year bet on himself, and then they shipped him off to Houston where
that
he got buried?
That was KJ McDaniels.
Okay, KJ. Yeah, oh, you want to bet on yourself? Oh, you're doing pretty good? Okay, we'll bury you elsewhere. Mm-hmm. And that's basically what happened, is other players are just buried. Like, they just have nobody.
Well, we're finally seeing some of the rookies that they've been, you know, picking up. We saw it with Nerlens Noel. He played well. Jeremy Grant out of Syracuse actually did okay. Like, that's one guy I think they can hold on to. The two Georgetown boys, Hollis Thompson, Henry Sims. Thompson has a team option. Sims is a restricted free agent. No hope there. Jason Richardson was in the last year of his deal. That guy, I don't think he's going to play in the NBA anymore. Luke Mbah-Mute, I don't know.
He's another defensive. He's another veteran type guy.
But he's an unrestricted free agent. Will he want to go to a winning team? You know, for veteran minimum. You know,
it's one of those things. Like, you have your players. You know, next year's roster is Embiid, Noel, Furkan Amadir, Troy Roten, Covington,
Jakar Sampson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jakar Sampson.
And remember, they're going to be in the next year. They're going to bring in Joel Embiid, who my friend, you may have listened to him on the other podcast, Norman Rockwell. He's high on Embiid. I'm not. And then there's Dario Saric out of Croatia, who we might not see for another year after this. But
exactly, he has me. He made no mention he's coming over yet.
Mm-hmm. But Embiid, you know, that's the idea. I guess they had in mind doing twin towers with Embiid and Noel as two centers, and trying to be more of a physical team inside. And I think that's where they were kind of trying to head towards with the defense. They were 18th in points allowed and 14th in field goal percentage defense. That is way, way, way better than they were last year. But they were dead last in offense. Dead last. They were 30th in points and 30th in field goal percentage. So they need a shooter. They desperately need a shooter.
You need people who are 6'6 and can shoot. That's all they need.
And Isaiah Cannon, he takes threes, but he doesn't make a lot of them. Robert Covington the same.
Yeah, so they need, you know, wing help bad.
Mm-hmm. In the worst.
And they make no intention of.
You think a guy like Justice Winslow would be a nice fit out of Duke, small forward?
No, because he's more of a slowdown. I don't see him as explosive wing forward that they would need.
Mm-hmm.
Would he be a better fit? Yeah, because he's a slow, you know, he's a slow. But they need like a Carmelo, just a shooter. Like they need to trade for like Macklemore.
Okay.
You know, just somebody who can create space and he's young.
But that's the problem, Philly. They're never active on the trade market in terms of making our team better. It's always about what can we dump and how much value can we get down the road.
Exactly, and they're just not going to – you see, next year they have no sign of improvement. Yet again, they just have another person. Okay, that's great. You've now signed somebody else. All right, so now what's going to happen 2 years from now when you don't really have a plan still, and now you have to now pay Noel max money?
Well, that's the thing, and I wanted to say that. What if they stumble on something with Embiid? It's kind of like when, you know, Stephon Marbury and Kevin Garnett all of a sudden shot up the stratosphere in Minnesota. What if Nerlens Noel and Joel Embiid both wind up being really good, but they're already 2 years or 3 years into their rookie deals, and now you have to make a choice? You know, and all of a sudden, Philadelphia's winning games, but so you're pressuring yourself into making a move now a lot earlier than you expected because you actually have a chance.
Well, with these Twin Towers, let's not forget we had this in Chicago with Chandler and Curry.
Mm-hmm.
And which player do they keep in the end? Oh, they have none of them.
Yeah.
So
they kept Chandler a year longer, but he left in free agency too.
Yeah, so you're giving the players no reason to stay if you're just putting off for another year. Because, again, I don't see next year as them make an attempt to be like, okay, this is the year we're turning it around. Mm-hmm. We've bolstered our bench. We still have 13 more picks we need to use after next year.
We're going to try to get away from here with Philadelphia. We're going to talk about a team that has also been awful for quite a while. They've missed the playoffs as many times in a row as Philadelphia has, and that's been since 2012, 2013, and that's the Orlando Magic. Now, you and I agree that Orlando's got a few more pieces in place than the Knicks do, which is none, and the Sixers, which is like one. But the Magic have like three or four. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, but they don't know what to do with them. This is what happens. Okay, you've hit a few lottery tickets.
Oladipo at number two, solid. Vucevic out of the Dwight Howard deal, great pick, and you re-sign a good extension. Elfrid Payton, I see the potential there.
Okay, we'll call that a hit. Even if he doesn't know how to shoot, never does.
Tobias Harris, they got in the J.J. Redick deal long ago with Milwaukee.
Yep, they like him, and they also like Aaron Gordon, who can't do anything yet, but eventually he'll learn how to do something.
Yeah.
So now you've hit on a couple things. What are you going to do with them? Now you're creating log jams by having all this.
Well, let's talk about their season as they had it. 25-57, a very slight improvement from what they did last year, but it still cost Jacques Vaughn his job. And we all agreed Vaughn was not really an NBA head coach anyway. We were both surprised that he even got the job when Rob Hennigan hired him. There's two interesting things going on here now with Orlando. Number one, Rob Hennigan is now in a position where he can hire a coach and hope that he can get a name guy, somebody who's had experience on playoff teams, to try to build up the core that he's gotten in a draft. The other interesting factor is that Tobias Harris is a restricted free agent, and you've already committed the money for Vucevic. Do you want to re-sign Tobias Harris or match a deal from an outside team at about the $11, $12 million mark for Harris if you want to keep Vucevic along with Oladipo, whose contract will be coming up in a couple years?
And that's what we saw with Utah when you had Gordon Hayward. Mm-hmm. Same thing. And they're sort of mirroring sentiments, you know, right there.
The cap space is there if they want to do it. It's just, you don't want to commit to it.
You know, so I think, okay, we're willing to commit Harris at 12, but what if the Knicks come in and say, oh, we'll give you 15? Mm-hmm. Now it becomes, well, we don't want to pay him 15, and it sort of gets.
Or what if they go to the draft, somebody falls, like it's Sam Decker, they get him, and then they say, okay, we're going to build this guy up, and we're going to cut bait on Harris. Like, do you think you could see something like that again, where they say, you know, Harris overplayed, or he outplayed his contract, and now we can't afford him because all these other playoff teams are trying to sign him as the missing piece to their puzzle. So we're not going to try to compete with that on his qualifying offer. So we're just going to go ahead and get another rookie deal to try to fill that spot.
Yeah, but then that's just how teams stay in the lottery forever.
That's
true. You're just literally replacing because you don't want to pay. And, you know, sort of what happened to Phoenix is up, you know, this guy left. Okay, we draft his replacement. We're good.
What do you like out of Vucevic and Harris?
Harris, you're more higher on him than I am.
Well, he's a scorer. I like how he can just naturally score from anywhere on the court, even though he's a wide body big. You know, so he's hard to guard because he's so big. And he's also very fleet of foot. He does not, you know, he can basically float anywhere, you know?
Yeah, he can, but, you know, like about Vucevic, he's just a double-double machine when he, you know, his defense isn't that great, but he always knows where to be and at the end. And but then again, this sort of comes down to Jacques Vaughn not developing the players.
Yeah. So. Vucevic was a beast last year. I was shocked he wasn't an all-star. I said the same thing about Gordon Hayward in the West, and I say the same thing about Vucevic in the East. Like, I thought he was terrific.
Oh, and I agreed 100%. It's just now comes the tough questions of what are you going to do? Now you have to start paying people. This is you've tanked. People have bought into it. They see potential. You can't just now waste it by trading it again for the future.
And Oladipo's a star. You keep him at every cost. I think in year three, man, this is a bit of a stretch, but I think in year three at the guard position, he could be as much of an eye opener as Anthony Davis was at year three at the forward position.
Well, he needs to not play point guard. You need to have a coach that says you were a two. I'm not playing you at the one because Jacques Vaughn never got that message.
Who do you like as the head coach of the Orlando Magic? Like a Scotty Brooks who has a relationship with Rob Hennigan?
I can see that. Or there's just so many NBA retreads out there.
You know, the rumor was with Billy Donovan that, you know, they were about to hire him, and then Donovan backed out.
Yeah, they had signed him, and Donovan backed out at the last second. I don't see somebody like him, like a young mastermind coming in. I see an NBA retread with experience.
You know who I like, even though it's impossible? In case there's a fallout in Chicago, I think Thibodeau would be such a good fit because I think there is a defensive blueprint in this team. Oladipo, defensively, he's gotten better. Elfrid Payton, defensive guard. Vucevic, great rebounder. Tobias Harris, if they keep him. His defense, he's the worst of the four guys on defense. But Aaron Gordon, good defensive player. I think it's there. And I think if Thibodeau has more power in Orlando and he's given the keys to the team and he runs the defense, I think that team could be really, really good. But, I mean, I don't know if one coach can really turn it around that vastly. That's my problem with it.
When you have a coach who's leaving that did next to nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, again, another player, another coach, nobody defended when they fired him. They're like, good.
Yeah.
And, you know, anybody would be able to prove it. Even, like, you know, maybe somebody like Mark Jackson, whom the players loved. It was just him and management didn't get along.
Yeah. Or so, maybe like a Fred Hoiberg who can bring in the college atmosphere.
Somebody who could inspire the players.
Yeah. It's tough when you look at the stats. Their bench is horrible and their defense is horrible. So all these guys that have team options and who's a restricted free agent coming up or an unrestricted free agent, the ones are Willie Green, Kyle Quinn, Luke Ridenour, Ben Gordon, Devin Marble, Dwayne Dedman. Dude, I could cut bait on all those guys and not blink an eye. I really could.
I could see the right side of Kyle Quinn.
Yeah, he's an RFA, meaning restricted free agent. So I could see him taking the qualifying offer and then being a free agent, an unrestricted free agent after that. Gordon is a team option. So is Luke Ridenour. The other question we've had, and we've been talking about this for a while, is between Mo Harkless and Andrew Nicholson. I mean, are either of them ever going to be anything above a bench warmer?
You know? No, it's not looking that way. You know, Nicholson didn't have that. You know, he didn't have that high ceiling to begin with when he was drafted at St. Bonaventure.
Mm-hmm.
He was just that, you know, sort of hustle, big baby.
Yeah, Gordon is that kind of guy. Gordon is a guy, when I watch him, like, he's got potential. Like, he could be something.
Yeah, it's just he doesn't know how to use it yet. It's like, okay, you see the talent, but you need somebody to mold that as opposed to just running around in circles.
Yeah, and Evan Fournier, to me, was a rental. Like, I think they just had him because they needed a scorer. Like, that's a guy that you could fill in any – you could put an Anthony Morrow there and it could work.
He could develop into be a nice glue guy.
Mm-hmm.
The key term is he could develop into one. Like,
Scottie
I was
better on defense, though.
Yeah, I can see flashes where it's there, but it's just the team was just so uninspired all year.
Mm-hmm.
And you have tons of young people. Pick a few and go for it. What does a team need to do? Set a direction. Okay, Tobias, you're our guy. Let's get a coach that can maximize your potential. Go. All right, we're going to be a defensive guy team. Now is the time to decide something.
Yeah, I'm getting excited now because now we're talking about teams that have actual direction to them, which we're not like used to, you know, when we're looking at a lot of these teams. But we're finally seeing teams that actually have good players on their team. So, you know, this is the next step up, and they were 32-50. But I will definitely say that there was improvement with the Detroit Pistons. Would you agree?
Oh yeah, once they got rid of Josh Smith, it was just like, where did this team come from?
Mm-hmm. Was that a win-win with Josh Smith and the Rockets, and letting him go, letting him leave Detroit?
Yeah, because he went to a place where he was happy, and then he's willing to accept a lesser role now. And Detroit, as we've just seen, is just that killer team. With we need to sign somebody. We need to overpay. All right, we got Ben Gordon, shit the bed. We got Charlie Villanueva, shit the bed. We got Josh Smith, shit the bed.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can't fault them for trying, but it's just...
You made the wrong moves.
Yeah.
And that's why Joe Dumars is now... I don't know what he's doing anymore. They did have to make one move because Brandon Jennings tore his Achilles, and that's that they got Reggie Jackson from Oklahoma City in exchange for DJ Augustin and Kyle Singler. I like Singler, but I knew he wasn't a long-term plan type of guy. DJ Augustin was good. The one guy that they let go in a separate trade that I didn't understand was Jonas Jerebko, who's over with your Boston Celtics. I did not like that deal because I thought Jerebko was a good fit for Stan Van Gundy, who likes to shoot threes. And now he's in Boston. I think he's going to work out in Boston.
Well, it's funny. It's like Jerebko is there, and then he would just disappear for 2 months and he'd be buried on the bench. And all of a sudden he'd come back and then a couple games and then up back to buried on the bench. And I never understood it. It's like, well, why would you give that guy, you know, a 4-year deal? And you just kept like every coach that came in would just keep burying him.
Here is the intrigue with the Pistons is that, you know, I already mentioned Reggie Jackson. He's a restricted free agent. I would say it's 50-50 that he might stay in Detroit. You know, I'm not absolutely sure, but I think there is strong sentiment that Detroit will try to give an offer to him if Brandon Jennings recovers slowly from his injury. Then Greg Monroe took his tender offer in the summer last year, so now he's an unrestricted free agent. Had a very good year, 15 points, 10 rebounds, 49% field goal percentage. They got Andre Drummond. Andre Drummond is your pillar. They're probably going to sign him to a max extension, just like New Orleans will with Anthony Davis and just like Portland will with Damian Lillard, and maybe Washington with Bradley Beal, but that remains to be seen. With Monroe, what do you do if you negotiate with Drummond for a max extension? Do you try to keep Monroe there with him?
They've tried. You know,
they lowballed him,
but... You know, Van Gundy has no loyalty to anybody, so they didn't try to get rid of him. They didn't try to trade him for some assets this year.
Do you think Monroe's one of those guys that because of his efficiency as a scorer, he can work anywhere? It's not necessarily just in Detroit.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, you know, like, let's just say what would happen if the Knicks offered next to max money for both Jackson and Monroe? What do you do if you're Detroit?
Well, In my opinion, I think you would keep Monroe and let Jackson walk and just take the chance that Brandon Jennings will come back to full health.
And then just hope you get a backup point guard that could do something?
Yeah, in the draft. Well, they brought in Spencer Dinwiddie, you know, and they actually played him more than I thought they would. You know, so maybe they'll actually sign a good point guard instead of having to draft one out of whole cloth because they didn't have a high draft pick last year. And they tried to do what they could with Dinwiddie.
Yeah, who, you know, people forgot him because he tore his ACL midway through, you know, his season. And it was very strange that he came out, though.
Who's that?
Dinwiddie.
Well, yeah, because he still had a year of eligibility and he had the knee injury. But here he is in the NBA, so, you know, hard work pays off. Caron Butler is still going to be there. Let me ask you this. Have we seen the last of Tayshaun Prince?
Oh, yeah. He didn't want to be there to begin with.
But do you think he'll retire?
I think he has another year left.
Yeah, he's an unrestricted free agent.
He's an unrestricted free agent. But don't forget, he was also starting at Memphis this year. Mm-hmm. If he could go back to, like, oh, be a bench guy.
Yeah, the people in Memphis saw him as, like, a black hole. And then when Jeff Green came in, they're like, oh, this is what a six man looks like.
You know? Yeah, because he's not a six man anymore. He's more of like an eighth man. And if you're willing to slide down that bench and be that team guy, you know, he's a wonder, you know, a superb asset in the locker room for you. Something like maybe like a Charlotte could use.
So you're saying Tayshaun Prince is more like an eighth man?
Yeah, and it's just you need to, you know, adjust your role with your age. You can't think you're in your prime when that was like 7 years ago. And, you know, like someone like Vince Carter, who's done that. He's like, you know, okay, I know I'm older. I know I can't do it. You know, just you learn your role and just that's how you stay in the NBA.
I did like Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, though. I thought he played well, good three-point shooter. I think he's a true small forward, kind of like in the vein of Will Barton, who we talked about in Denver. I think he can work out for Detroit for sure. Jody Meeks was overpaid, but he can shoot, and that's what Stan Van Gundy likes. So I think we're going to see more of the same with Stan. He's going to start to find some more shooters in the draft and also in free agency. Who he brings in is the big question. I don't know who he's going to sign over, but I think it's going to mainly be shooters and guards. I think that's who he's going to be looking for.
Yeah, that's all, because if he does re-sign Monroe, he's going to be like, well, I'm fine with the bigs. That's all I need.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to run a lot of small ball. And
what do you think they need the most?
A player they don't have is really a small four right now. They don't have a small ball. Because, you know, if they're just a team that's shooting threes, they don't have a stretch four.
Well, a stretch four, I agree with that. I think Caldwell Pope, you can try to fit him as a three, but he'd be a small three. The one about the stretch four, that I can kind of agree with, because Jerebko wasn't really a power forward. So, you know, what can you do if you've got Monroe and Drummond on the court, and then you play with a stretch four? Now you're really slow in your front court on defense.
Yeah, but that's, you know, I think they're just going to, you know, you could get shooters. Shooters are a dime a dozen.
Mm-hmm.
Especially look at the D-League. It's all they do is just shoot threes, scoring 300 points a game, it looks like. You know, so they need size again, because they got rid of, you know, they got rid of Jerebko and D'Antoni, who are both size guys. And
yeah, I think we're at a disagreement here. You like the bigs and maybe re-signing Monroe. I like the guards. I think that they should try to kind of go more with the three ball that Stan Van Gundy's more comfortable with anyway. But that'll be interesting. I think this summer is going to be your true idea of what Stan really wants to do. Last year, we didn't really get an idea. This year, we're really going to know what they want to do.
But yeah, they're... I don't know. It's Van Gundy's team, so they could do whatever they feel like, I guess.
Yeah. And then we've got this one. You know, I don't really have a good transition for this team. It was a team that I thought was going to do a lot better than they actually did. But they went to 33-49 after really dovetailing at the end of the year due to injuries. And that was the Charlotte Hornets, who used to be the Bobcats. This is their first year as the Hornets, or renamed as the Hornets, in their arena. I think it's called the SBC Arena. And you weren't surprised by how they played, right?
Nope. I thought Stevenson was going to give you what he gave you. Just years of horrible drafting comebacks to haunt you.
Mm-hmm.
Although, I did recall seeing a Noah Vonleh signing.
Well, he saw, a putback dunk. You saw his putback dunk.
The last week of the season, I saw some stats under his name. I'm like, wait a minute.
Noah Vonleh signing. You know, Noah Vonleh, we're going to be making fun of that guy forever. They made one really good move, and I don't know if it's going to work out for him because he's an unrestricted free agent, but Mo Williams came in and played very well for them when they got him from, I believe it was Minnesota, right?
Yep.
Yeah, and he came in and he averaged 18 points and 6 assists a game, and I thought he played well for them. They needed a guard to fill in for Kemba Walker when he went down with a knee injury. The problem was Al Jefferson went down with a knee injury too, and that killed him because Al Jefferson is their everything.
Yep, and then, you know, those miles are coming up. They caught him pretty fast, and Mo Williams will be gone, but, you know, that's just another the six-man shooter type guy, and was he good for that team? Yes, but, you know, as much as you like Kemba Walker, you should be like, oh, he's fine. Kemba's back, so we're good.
Well, Kemba definitely showed improvement. People saw a little bit of it in the postseason last year when they got swept by the Miami Heat, but you definitely saw it in the regular season. He had some game-winning shots. He averaged 18 points and 5 assists. I don't know how much more. Here's my problem with Kemba, though, as I think about it. How much better can he be compared to what he is now? Like, I think he's pretty much maxed out as a player. So if this is the best he'll be, then you definitely need another guard. If you can't retain Mo Williams, which I think they might be able to, you've got to find another guard. And if that means you have to cut bait with Stevenson after his second year, so be it. That's, I think, their greatest need. I think they need a scoring guard.
Yeah, they do need a scoring guard. And to me, what they need to do, trade your first-round pick.
Mm-hmm.
Make a trade. Get rid of
because you can't trade. Give it to the Knicks. They'll be thrilled.
Kid Gilchrist, you know.
Now, Kid Gilchrist played better this year,
but he's a defensive guy for the number two pick. He's a defensive specialist. Yeah. Gerald Henderson was a lottery pick. Cody Zeller, Vonleh, Biombo,
PJ Hairston.
Harrison, he was the second. He was like the 19th pick or something.
Jeffrey Taylor.
With his...
with his domestic violence.
Yes.
He's already got it on his record. And, you know, we talked about most of the players that they have because they are homegrown a little ways.
Their drafting is terrible.
The Marvin Williams signing was pitiful. I still don't understand it. He'll still be with the team. Brian Roberts, who played with New Orleans the year before, nothing. Biombo, restricted free agent. He'll probably take the qualifying offer because he's not – I mean, I don't know what he can get on the open market. The one unrestricted free – well, they have two unrestricted free agents. They have Jason Maxiell and Mo Williams. Maxiell, whatever. Mo Williams, I think they might want to try to keep.
They'll try to keep him, but I see him going. I see the market for him being much higher elsewhere. Somebody might overpay for him. Biombo, that's even assuming Charlotte's going to offer him the
yeah, where's it at? Is it about $6 million? Because he was a high pick. He was like a number four pick. Because he was actually picked ahead of Kemba. Like,
yeah,
the Bobcats had two picks in the lottery. Biombo was the first one, and Kemba was the second one.
It's up there, but they're not going to offer him. It could even be like $2 million. They'd be like, no, we're good. You've given us what we think you can
do. They already got Kemba signed, sealed, delivered. Gerald Henderson, too. Al Jefferson has a player option. Does he use it?
No, he's staying with his injuries. He's not going anywhere. And then
the big question, what of Lance? What happens with Lance?
If you let him play within himself and you get in a second option, assuming Kemba Walker's your first option now, because let's just say Al's done and he'll give you limited minutes and limited games. If Kemba's your number one option, you need number two, and then let Lance be a number three where he'll thrive, where there's no expectations.
Yeah, their number one problem was offense. You know, they were 27th in points per game, 29th in field goal percentage, 27th in threes, 26 in assists. You predicted that their role players would fall apart, and they did. They had a bad bench.
And, you know, they thought Lance would come in and solve everything. Oh, he's our hero. He's the number one guy. Well, you don't get a number one guy who's already a bargain to get.
Mm-hmm. And their defense is good. You know, their defense is actually not a problem.
Yeah, because that's all they have are defensive specialists.
Yes.
That's it. Then you need to draft somebody who's or you know sign somebody who doesn't know how to play D and just
put
shoot
the ball in the basket. You know, like a Doug McDermott would have been a good fit there. As crazy as that sounds, when they drafted him instead of Vonleh, I thought that would have been a better fit. Instead, they went with another raw, athletic big man who can't score.
Yeah, and, you know, you only got this raw, athletic big man to follow who plays the same, who's the exact same guy as Cody Zeller, who's the exact same guy as Bismack. And
yeah, and let me tell you this. Just because you were a scorer in college doesn't mean you're going to be a scorer in the NBA. Now, there are guys like T.J. Warren and, like, I'm trying to think of another example, Jabari Parker. There are guys that where scoring just comes naturally to them. And then there are guys in college that scored a lot of points because they were the best players on their team. They had no other choice. You know, it's just so different. And, you know, Cody Zeller to me is that way. Cody Zeller is Tyler Hansbrough. I hate to do the white-to-white comparison, but he is.
Yeah, it's just the, okay, anybody could be a, you know, look at Jimmer Fredette was, you know, scoring from anywhere on the court in college. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, just buried on the bench everywhere he's been. So, you know, college and NBA are two way different beasts, and you just can't keep getting these college guys like all the time.
Well, that's why we're talking about college, because it feels like a lot of, like, college type of defensive-minded type of players in the system. The only one that's kind of not in that mold is Walker and Jefferson. The rest of them are all kind of college. Even Gerald Henderson, in a way, kind of like they kind of play that college style. That slow them down ball. They shoot a low percentage. You know, they're just kind of the same type of players.
Exactly, and you know, don't forget Jefferson. The only reason he went there is because they gave him the most money. Mm-hmm. He had no loyalty. He didn't buy the futures.
And good for him, you know?
You know, they want to pay me. Okay, sure, no problem. But they need somebody who's just, you know, you need this, I'm going to shoot, I don't care, you defend for you, cover for me, because they don't have that.
Okay, we're going to get out of here, but we're going to stay in that division. But surprisingly, we're going to be talking about a team, actually two of them, but the first one is a team that was in the Eastern Conference Finals, won the Eastern Conference Championship last year, but now they're on the outside looking in, and that is the Miami Heat. Are you surprised that the Miami Heat are not in the playoffs?
Oh, those overachieving disappointments.
You're never going to live that down, are you? Why are they not in the playoffs?
Oh, they're not in the playoffs because of unfortunate medical health problems to Chris Bosh. That's the only reason.
If Bosh is healthy, along with after making the trade for Goran Dragic with Luol Deng and Dwayne Wade, what kind of a team are we looking at?
They could have been moved up to like a 5 seed.
So you think next season they don't really need to change anything?
They fell apart because, you know, you as much as we, you know, they're overachievers because they got something out of Henry Walker. They got something out of Hassan Whiteside. They got something out of
Well, let me try to justify my paradox is that I felt like they overachieved because the guys that were supposed to come in disappointed them, if that makes any sense. The guys that came in and were supposed to be the stars let them down. So then the reserves had to come in and play over their heads. You know, it was kind of like the situation that the Thunder wound up in.
Well, was Luol Deng really a disappointment?
Yeah, 14 points, 5 rebounds. Not as good as he was in Chicago.
Yeah, but if you're playing behind Wade and Bosh, I expected his numbers to go down.
Mm-hmm. Their defense is really good still. Now, here's the weird thing about their defense. They were 3rd in points allowed, but they were 21st in field goal percentage defense, which means you're good at limiting offense, but you're not good at forcing misses.
Yeah. And this is what, you know, this is the unfortunate that what happens when you have a very top-heavy team. Salary-wise, one person goes down, your team's now sort of crippled because all you can sign are just literal minimum contracts. And, you know, again, it's not anybody's fault. Bosh had his heart thing. But that's the difference between the playoffs and not the playoffs.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to ask you this question. Let's say Bosh didn't get hurt. Do you think they would have gone after Dragic?
Oh, I think they had it in mind anyway. I think they had already done it before Bosh had gotten hurt, is my opinion. But what I was interested in is how it would work with Dragic and Wade. And it really didn't work that well. Is my problem. I felt like they were kind of the same player. Ball dominant two guards.
Yeah, that's because the problem is Dragic thinks he's a point guard.
He,
by default, he was last year, but it's just like, well, you're not going to tell Dwayne Wade not to do anything.
Their issue this year is that now Wade is back, and Chris Bosh is going to be there for a long time. Goran Dragic and Luol Deng both have player options. Hassan Whiteside, who came in and played great for him, he is also an unrestricted free agent. Miami will probably have the Pat Riley will probably have the first choice as to what offer to give Whiteside. What would you offer him?
I thought Whiteside was a team option.
Oh, he does have a team option?
I thought they signed him for 2 years.
Ooh, if they did, then that's a steal.
Yes,
because you know why you're probably right, because I haven't read any ink on the internet about Hassan Whiteside in the free agency market, so you might be right about that. That might have been a late option that they used.
It could have been, but I'm not quite.
Well, even if so, what do you think he's worth to the team?
Whiteside's mid-level.
Like your best center, basically? Better than Birdman?
Oh, Birdman is declining. Mm-hmm. With his now the back of his head tattooed.
Has Chalmers done enough to keep his starting job, or do you think Shabazz Napier might be knocking on that door?
No, Shabazz by default, because Chalmers didn't really do anything, but he didn't have to do anything to keep.
He's good at Norris. Steals, but that's it.
Yeah, but he's getting older, and all he had to do is fend off Norris Cole. That didn't seem hard. So
Norman Rockwell hates Norris Cole in New Orleans. Hates him.
You know, and again, how much are you doing if Dwayne Wade's really your point guard in the end?
Mm-hmm.
If Dwayne Wade and LeBron were handling the ball 90% of the time, you were just there to guard the small guy. So Napier, you know, he hit the rookie wall extremely hard as well. But going back to your earlier question, I think both Luol and you know, obviously Dragic is they're opting out.
You think they're both going to opt out?
I think Luol Deng is going to opt out because he needs. The question is, how much money do you think he's going to get next year? If he opts in, there's going to be a lot of players next year, and he's going to be not in the high on the list.
Now, you're talking about Dragic right now.
No, Dragic will be high on the list, and Miami's going to pay him. I'm talking about Luol Deng.
Luol Deng, I think, would probably make less than he's getting right now in Miami. At about, what, $9 million it is?
Yes, it's a $10 million player option.
I think he'll stay. I think that's better in Miami.
So you don't think he'd opt out now and say, let me try to get 3 years, $35 million?
Because of his age, and he might not be playing better by 2016?
Yes, another year, and then all of a sudden, you know, with all those high-name players coming out.
You know, Luol Deng might be the only player that will make $10 million for his entire career. Because if you look at the minimum numbers coming into the next salary cap, he probably will earn $10 million in his late 30s. So Luol Deng might make $10 million from, like, 2006 until, like, 2017. He might be the only player to ever do that.
Yeah, but that seems about right. Just a player. Yeah, you know, before the cap goes crazy, but yeah. He was always good, never the superstar. So
yeah, but I did feel like he disappointed, and I thought Dragic after the trade kind of disappointed. I felt he was kind of, for lack of a better word, I thought he was kind of butthurt by the Phoenix move.
And yeah, he was disappointing. Like he didn't do it. He didn't elevate that team.
He didn't play with a chip on his shoulder. He played kind of like woe is me, you know. And I think the Bosh getting shut down because of the lung infection or whatever it was, I think that made it even worse because now you know, okay, if we don't get to a hot start, then we're probably done, you know?
Yeah, so maybe just by then everyone sort of knew the writing was on the wall and we could fight.
How much blame can Eric Spoelstra take for this?
Very little. Because this is all GM / God. Because, you know, Spoelstra could go with what he has to work with. And if you're having three minimum contract guys on the starting at the end of the season, well, then you know you've reached the end.
And I've noticed this, too. A lot of people said, and I said the same thing. I felt like they may have had to change their identity a little bit when LeBron left. But the truth is, if you look at the numbers, they really are the same team. It just doesn't have LeBron in it. You know, they're a bad rebounding team. They're a high percentage. They're high percentage at taking threes, but they don't. What I mean is that they shoot a high percentage from the 3-point line, but they don't take a lot of them. They play really good defense. The only thing that changed is that their bench got better because they were able to improve it after LeBron left. You know, that was the only difference that got made. The other obvious difference is that you don't have LeBron James. So, you know, your team is obviously going to be a lot worse because now you have Luol Deng at the small forward spot. But it's kind of the same team, only it's just not as good.
Yeah, like, you know, you replace one guy with two decent guys, and
it's kind of like the Magic when Penny was still there and Shaq left. It was the same type of team, only Penny was the guy instead of Shaq.
Yeah, and you know, with Dragic, you know, I think he'll stay, and you know, he'll get paid. Mm-hmm. He's nowhere near a max money guy, so.
Yeah, we talk about a team that's on the outside looking in right now in the Eastern Conference playoffs after winning the Eastern Conference. This team played them twice in a row in the Eastern Conference Finals and lost out, and they were also on the outside looking in, and that was the Indiana Pacers. Now, being on the outside looking in was not a surprise because they went in with a huge handicap because of Paul George's injury. He came in late. What did you see out of Paul George?
Rust. I saw a lot of rust.
You saw a lot of actual rust?
Like, you know, you could just see somebody who was just coming back at 80%, trying his best, but...
How much fright did you have when you saw him get that whatever it was like a strain in his calf in Memphis in the last game of the season? Were you kind of like, oh, no?
Oh, yeah. Like, oh, that's... He's, ooh, yeah.
I was getting that Sam Bowie feeling, oh, not again. Or like Greg Oden, you know.
Yeah, but you know, like you said, I saw the rust, but he didn't want to come back and be that, you know, I'm the starting lineup guy, I'm going to play 30 minutes. He was just like, no, I want to come back. Let's try and do this.
Mm-hmm. Here's the one team of all these where when I say, what do they need? And I say, you don't need to change anything. Do you agree?
No, I disagree.
What do you think the Indiana Pacers need to do?
They need to get young.
But they did a little bit with Watson and Miles, huh? I know they're not they're not kids, but
I don't know who's, you know, who's coming, who's going. I know Skull is gone.
Yeah, he's an unrestricted free agent, and I think they were kind of done with him anyway.
They're done with him, and you need somebody to replace David West.
And also, you don't know how Chris Copeland's going to come back from that stabbing.
Yeah, and you know Hibbert, I don't even know if he'll make it through the full season next year.
He has a player option. What can he get in the open market, and should he use it?
No, he's not going to.
He's not going to use it?
He's not going to use it.
You know what that was? He was a restricted free agent, and Portland gave him the deal. And the deal was something in the neighborhood of about, I think, like $13 million. And obviously, Pacers matched it because Hibbert was hot. Hibbert was like a hot name in the free agency that year. But – do you think he would get $13 million in the open market is the big question. Right now, I would say probably not.
No, he's sort of played himself down to like 10 or 12.
Yeah. I mean, do you think he's regressed or Roy Hibbert's just one of those rare type of players, kind of like I'm trying to think of a good example of a player that just has down years, you know, kind of like I know in football, like Eli Manning, like just one of those guys that just has bad years.
I don't know, because he's had a couple bad years in a row, and just, you know, he's getting softer and softer each year, and it might just be one of those where he maybe just needs a change of scenery, and that might rejuvenate him, but it's just, you know, he's not going to pass up $15 million this year, but I'm not going to say Indiana's not going to try to trade him halfway through next year.
Yeah, David West has a player option. I think he'll use it, and I think this will be it for him after next year. Rodney Stuckey's an unrestricted free agent. He played very well. I think there's a chance he might stay. If he doesn't, do you think that's the opening that they can use to try to get in a younger guard or a younger power forward?
That is a spot they could use. They'll have a lottery pick, so they got somebody who can, you know, in theory should be equally to Rodney Stuckey.
Mm-hmm.
Copeland is a free agent.
Yeah, so is Donald Sloan, and so is LaVoy Allen. The one guy they're keeping, well, the two guys they're keeping are Solomon Hill and a guy that came out of an international who shot the ball well for the three-point line, even though he didn't play much. That was Damian Rudish. I think they like him. Ian Mahimi is still there. CJ Miles played well. Like, I think they have – here's the one thing they did this year that really helped them. Their bench got a lot better.
Yes, it did. And that's what, you know, like I had said, best signings were Stuckey and Miles, because they went after backup players who were able to step up with PG-13 going down.
Yeah, their age rank in the league, because you asked about it, is 22nd.
Yeah.
So that means you got to do something there. Whether it's cut bait with West and try to find another power forward, or
they got a lot of they have a lot of players who are leaving after this year, so they need some bodies, and it wouldn't hurt to get a little younger up front.
Frank Vogel is committed on the defensive end. He does not make apologies for it. But offensively, kind of like Memphis, you've got to find a way to get better either in points per game or field goal percentage. What do they have to do? Do they have to just run better sets, bring in an offensively minded assistant? Like, what can they do to help themselves?
I think they need to bring in somebody, some offensive minded people. Because, you know, you could play D all you want, but you still need to.
Is it potentially that you have to move George Hill?
George Hill hasn't done anything. He's sort of peaked.
Yeah, but he did well for Indiana. Like, I thought that trade for Kawhi, I don't think that's like the worst trade ever.
No, his first 2 years, that was an even trade.
Now, Kawhi Leonard is like a great player.
Yes.
Would you call Kawhi Leonard a great player?
Defensively.
Offensively, he's getting there.
He's learning. But, you know, the first 2 years, it was an even trade. Now, who's not to say they wouldn't offer, you know, him and their pick to move up the draft? He's sort of, I think, peaked at potential.
So, well, my opinion is they shouldn't change anything. You think they need to make a big move?
I think they need not a big move, because the reason they didn't make the playoffs is because George was hurt, and that sort of tanks your season when your best guy is so far above the second best guy. Your team has to change its identity because of that loss.
And there's still a little bit of a question mark there, because he did look really good in some games, and then there were some other games where mentally he was not there. But you kind of expected that because of the injury he was coming off of. It was so horrific, and it was so devastating. I can understand why he was a little tentative at times, especially if you land wrong or if you take a bad cut. I can kind of understand that. But I just don't know what we're going to get out of PG in terms of being a shooter. I kind of saw the same player again, unfortunately. I hope it's not something like Derrick Rose, where it's sort of like, is he ever going to be back? Will he or won't he? And I don't want that. You know, I want PG, Paul George, to be at his best. Godspeed, I really hope it is next season and he bounces back and has an MVP caliber year. But, I mean, signs are pointing against that.
Yeah, well, you know, he has a whole offseason to rehab, but I think they need to make moves. You don't. So, you know, it's one of those, we'll agree to disagree.
Yeah, that's another one where I think they should stay put. You think they should make some small moves, kind of like they did last year with CJ Miles, CJ Watson, and Rudish, and doing things like that. You know, because the thing that got them to the Eastern Conference Finals 2 years in a row was their consistency in their roster. You know, the one shakeup they did was that they cut bait with Danny Granger. But after that, everybody else was the same. West, Hibbert, even Lance Stephenson, who they drafted in 2010. All those guys were in that system under Larry Bird and Frank Vogel for a number of years, and they got better and they learned under each, you know, beside each other. And I thought that was a big part of it. Now you're asking to kind of like move all these pieces around and just hope that they fit while you're waiting for Paul George to come back to 100%. I think it's a bit of a risk, especially given how Roy Hibbert is so inconsistent. But, you know, I would almost call Hibbert a front runner. He's the guy that plays really well when he knows that they have a chance to win. When things look sour, he sours.
Yes.
You know, and you know, well, that.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, you go ahead. I'm done.
I was going to say, I put it this way. you have to sort of go with the mindset that George will be back to his all-star level, and you have to sort of go all in. Mm-hmm. Because if you take that safe, cautious route, you might not make it back into the playoffs if you keep going safe or cautious. I think they need to make moves to get themselves back in, to rejuvenate themselves, because you can't. If he doesn't come back, okay, then, well, he got injured and Danny Granger, blah, blah, blah. But if you just, like, when you're going slow, 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 other teams are going to start leapfrogging you, like Orlando and Detroit.
Well, it's already happened in their division is the problem, because it was in that division that they sort of made the leap, because when Cleveland fell apart, you know, the only other team that was in their way in Chicago, and then Derrick Rose went down, and they won the division, I think, 2 years in a row. Now, Chicago's back in form, Cleveland's back in form, and then they've got the young – they're no longer called the Milwaukee Bucks, Adam. They are now called the Milwaukee Young Bucks. That is their official name. Every time I watch TNT or ESPN, they call them the Young Bucks. And any wrestling fan knows who the Young Bucks are. And they're not the ones wearing the Bucks uniforms in Milwaukee. But, yeah, the Young Bucks, who actually won a playoff game, so good for them. Now you can go home. But, yeah, I mean, Indiana could jump Milwaukee, but Chicago, Cleveland?
Yeah, they're not going to do it standing still.
Yeah. Oh, I kind of get it there, but I maybe it's just me holding out hope that the consistency in their roster can kind of get them – be their silver lining, but it is a reach. So I agree with you there. But that's going to be doing it for the Eastern Conference.
One more question.
Uh-huh.
With that being said, how many teams that didn't make it will make it next year?
I think the Pacers will absolutely make the playoffs. Absolutely make the playoffs. And I think the Pistons might make the playoffs.
So just two teams.
Yeah, I think the Pistons and the Pacers. I think the Heat will still be out, because I still don't know if they're good enough. And I think the Hornets are lost. And I think the Magic, Sixers, and Knicks have a ways to go.
Okay.
Do you think the Magic can make – do you see any – what do you see here?
I see three teams.
Which ones?
I see Miami. I see the Pacers. And if the Knicks go spending, I can see the Knicks
buy themselves. Oh, come on. No. I will give you $20 if the Knicks make the playoffs next year.
You throw out some max deals. That's all it took for Miami to, you know.
Man, nobody wants to go there right now. That is a cesspool.
But if you want to get paid and, you know, I could see, you know, even Detroit, they could make it. And there's teams.
I was going to say Orlando almost. Depends on the coach.
It depends on the coach. I still think they're another year away.
So thin. Their bench is so thin. They got to build it somehow.
Well, there's not the bench is thin. It's just all you have are just young people, and your bench is Mo Harkless. Young guy didn't make it. Aaron Gordon, young guy who might make it. You just don't.
Do you get a Thunder vibe? I mean, this is a reach, okay? I know it is, because there's no Durant or Westbrook here. Well, at least I think so. But do you get a Thunder vibe out of Orlando?
No.
Hitting home runs with good draft picks, and then they all kind of peak at the same time?
They're sort of like, I just see them like Utah. They're a year behind Utah.
Mm-hmm.
You have the Tobias Harris, you know, the Derek Favors. You have your draft pick who's made, you know, Oladipo to Haywood. And I just see them as the same cloth there.
Yeah, because it's also similar because of Vucevic and Favors. They got them in a trade.
Yep.
So they kind of fell to them, you know. So good comparison there. And I think we wrap this one up. I hope everybody enjoyed the first round previews. You know, I did one with Norman Rockwell. I know he's a different voice, but I thought he brought a lot to the table. And then, you know, Adam and I did the Eastern Conference. That was a really exciting one after all. A whole one of them went more than four games. But we tried to make it interesting. What are you looking forward with the conference finals, Adam?
Well, now we have teams that we expected to be there. Like we said, with the first round is always boring because you might have one game that's good, but for the most part, there's sweeps.
Yeah, and now things are getting nitty gritty.
Now it's teams that should be there. So.
Oh, and also the intensity escalates for sure.
Exactly.
It's in that second round where chippiness gets to an all-time high. You know, because it's a Final Four in each conference, and I mean those four teams really believe they have a chance. They've taken out one team, and now they smell blood. Now they think they've got a shot, and that's when you have to either put the stamp down and you eliminate them in four games, or you wind up in a dogfight and it goes six or seven. You know, and you don't know how it's going to go until you're like right until about two games in, you get an idea. Okay, this is what it's going to be like. You know, and you never really know.
No, but that's what makes it exciting is now you have, you know, it's not just the, okay, we're glad you made it, or, oh, we're lucky you didn't slide out of the playoffs because you crapped out.
Yeah, there's no pats on the back in the second round. It's either do or die.
It's teams who put their, you know, they've adjusted their rosters. The Western Conference, they all stacked up. You know, the Eastern Conference, they did a little too, but this is what you've now put all your money into, so...
But this was fun. Are you ready to do the ones with the eliminated teams pretty soon? I can't wait. I don't want to see teams get eliminated, but I can't wait to talk about some of these teams because some of them are pretty fascinating.
Well, this was, you know, you forget about teams like Detroit. You know, like, oh, yeah. And,
yeah.
You know, oh, they do have this guy, and they can do something with this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good to give a little minute to the other teams who are just not the same.
Especially okay. Now when absolutely no one is talking about it.
Exactly.
When they're pretty much wearing their fishing hat looking for bass.
I mean, how many times do you want to hear about Golden State this year in Cleveland? Let's talk about stuff that nobody else is. Let's look at the other side.
Yeah. Are you a good fisherman?
No.
Me neither. I wonder if Joe Pesci and Danny Glover were too when they did that movie.
Probably by the end of it, because that's nothing but time between, you know, shots.
You want a trivia question? You know who directed, you know who wrote that screenplay?
No, who?
J.J. Abrams.
Wow.
J.J. Abrams wrote the screenplay to Gone Fishing with Joe Pesci and Danny Glover.
Very interesting.
The architect of the new Star Wars.
Yay.
All right, on behalf of Adam Murray, this is Andrew Reese. We're totally stretching for time now. But enjoy the playoffs, everybody.